वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 9, Text 21, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Nayang Sukhapo Bhagavan,
Nayang Sukhapo Bhagavan,
Dehinang Gopika Sutaha,
Dehinang Gopika Sutaha,
Jnaninang Chatma Bhutanam, Yatha bhakti matamiha.
Yatha bhakti matamiha.
Nayang sukhapo bhagavan.
Nayang sukhapo bhagavan.
Dehinam gopika sutaha.
Dehinam gopika sutaha.
Jnaninam chatma bhutanam. Yatha bhakti matamiha, nayang sukhapo bhagavan, dehinam gopika sutaha, jnaninam chatma bhutanam, Yatha bhakti matamiha.
Yatha bhakti matamiha.
Translation: The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Mother Yashoda, is accessible to devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service, but he is not as easily accessible to mental speculators, to those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body the same as the self. Purport. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the son of Mother Yashoda, is very easily available to devotees, but not to tapasvis, yogis, jnanis, and others who have a bodily concept of life. Although they may sometimes be called Shanta Bhaktas, real bhakti begins with Dasya Rasa. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yayata mang prapadyante tangs tathaiva bhajamyaham mamavat manu vartante manushyaf partha sarvashaha. As living entities surrendered unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Pritha. Everyone is seeking Krishna, for he is the super soul of all individual souls. Everyone loves his body and wants to protect it because he is within the body as the soul. And everyone loves the soul because the soul is part and parcel of the super soul. Therefore, everyone is actually seeking to achieve happiness by reviving his relationship with the Supreme. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Vaidaischa sarvairaham eva vedyaha. By all of the Vedas, it is I who am to be known. Therefore, the Karmis, Jnanis, Yogis, and saintly persons are all seeking Krishna. But by following in the footsteps of devotees who are in a direct relationship with Krishna, especially the inhabitants of Vrindavan, one can reach the supreme position of associating with Krishna. As it is said, Vrindavanam parityaja padam ekam nagacchanti. Krishna does not leave Vrindavan even for a moment. The Vrindavan Vasis, Mother Yashoda, Krishna's friends and Krishna's conjugal lovers, the younger gopis with whom he dances, have very intimate relationships with Krishna. And if one follows in the footsteps of these devotees, Krishna is available. Although the Nitya Baddha expansions of Krishna always remain with Krishna, if those engaged in sadhana Siddhi. Follow in the footsteps of Krishna's Nitya Siddha associates, such sadhana siddhas, also can easily attain Krishna without difficulty. But there are those who are attached to bodily concepts of life. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, for example, have very prestigious positions, and thus they have the sense of being very exalted Ishvaras. In other words, because Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are guna avatars and have exalted positions, they have some small sense of being like Krishna. But the pure devotees who inhabit Vrindavan do not possess any bodily conception. They are fully dedicated to the service of the Lord in sublime affection, prema. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore recommended prema pumarto mahan. The highest perfection of life is prema, pure love in relationship with Krishna. And Mother Yashoda appears to be the topmost of devotees who have attained this perfection. Nayang sukhapo bhagavan dehinam gopika sutaha jnaninam chatma bhutanam yatha bhakti matamiha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Mother Yashoda, is accessible to devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service, but he is not as easily accessible to mental speculators, to those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and pure senses. By severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body the same as the self. Having read about the pure devotion of Mother Yashoda, purest of pure devotion, which is attainable for all devotees, if they come to that platform, I'll continue reading about the rules and regulations to follow during the month of Kartik, as given in Hari Bhakti Vilas, or some of them, as Sanatana Goswami points out. There are more. If this is not enough for you, you can go to Brahma Vaivarta Purana and find out more. But the whole aim is not simply to follow the rules and regulations, just for the sake of it, but to please Krishna. One actually becomes happy to please Krishna and likes to do that. And who will not want, if we have any sense of Krishna as being our supreme friend, our supreme master, the supreme object of service, then naturally feel inclined to serve him. Offering lamps to Krishna is a very nice thing to do. It's very pleasing to Krishna and very pleasing to the devotee also. So by doing these things, the idea is that one becomes attracted to Krishna and attached to performing his service. Other things, austerities, not taking nice food and so many things, that is to diminish our sense of material enjoyment so that we can utilize our senses as they're meant to be utilized. Hrishikena sevanam bhakti ruchate. Bhakti means to engage our senses in the service of he for whom the senses are meant to be engaged in, the master of the senses, Hrishikesh Krishna. So, continuing about offering a lamp to Krishna during the month of Kartik. If all kinds of pious activities are put on one side of a scale and the offering of a lamp during the month of Kartik on the other, the offering of the lamp will seem to be more glorious. And it doesn't even have to be a very big, huge lamp lighting up a very big area, just a simple lamp as we offer daily during this month. One who continuously burns lamps in the temple of Lord Hari during the month of Kartik will board an effulgent chariot and ascend to the abode of Lord Hari. And that's pious activities to light lamps, apart from offering to the Lord, to light the temple in days prior to electricity. The temples would be lit with lamps even during the day, because often the temples didn't have much light, any, if any. And so people with sufficient money would donate so that the oil and the wick and the container and then the whole temple would be lit up. And we still see that. In some temples, people donate and then the whole area is lit up. At Udupi, it's quite common. That's area-wise a small temple. At Guruvayur, that's quite often done. That's a much bigger temple in terms of size. The next one. The merit one obtains by distributing food grains during the dark fortnight of the month of Bhadra. Actually, it's given as... It's not given in the translation. It's called the Pitri Paksha. That's the fortnight. It's actually 15 days. When the offerings are supposed to be made to the forefathers. Or by distributing water during summer, can be obtained by offering a ghee lamp given by others in the month of Kartik. So this section is about the glories of offering a ghee lamp given by others. So someone might think, well, I'll just offer a ghee lamp. It says ghee lamp. Everywhere it says ghee lamp, although nowhere in the Sanskrit does it say ghee. Maybe an oil lamp. It just says deepa. So someone may think, well then, I'll just offer a lamp during Kartik to Damodar, and then I won't need to bother to arrange for drinking water for others during the hot season. But that's not a very good way of thinking. One shouldn't think, well, let me do something just considering what benefit I will get from it. If one is a rich man and has the ability, you don't have to be a very rich man to arrange water to for drinking water for others. That's common we see in North India during the hot season. Someone's usually some old person, they're given a few rupees to sit all day and just pour water out for people to drink. That's common in North India, at least I see. In South India, I don't see that much. Started also. Some Marwari businessman will arrange for some widow or some old person to sit all day and just pour water out for people. Or they have now the self-service water cooler. You can help yourself, but the traditional system, someone's there and pours it out for you. Pio, it's called in... Pio, is it?
Yeah.
In Vrindavan, North India. Then by offering a ghee lamp given by another person and by serving Vaishnavas during the month of Kartik, one receives the merit of performing a Rajasuya sacrifice or a horse sacrifice. But then we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita there's one verse that Koti Ashvamedha Eg Harinamasham Shepa Shandi Donde Jara Donde Tare Jom, something like that, which it says that anyone who thinks that performing a crore of horse sacrifices is equal to once chanting the holy name is he will be punished by Yamaraj for that offense. In other words, chanting the holy name once is more than more or better than performing horse sacrifices, because horse sacrifices they're meant for acquiring worldly pious activities. But the name of Krishna is completely transcendent. Here it is. Koti Ashvamedha E Krishna Namasham J Kahe Shepa Shandi Donde Tare Jam. One who says that 10 million Ashwamedha sacrifices are equal to the chanting of the holy name of Lord Krishna is undoubtedly an atheist. He is sure to be punished by Yamaraj. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions the eighth offense against the holy name, Dharma Vrata Tyaga Hutadi Sarva Shupa Kriya Samyam Apipramadaha. One who thinks that chanting the holy names is equivalent to any mundane pious activity is an offender against the holy name. So, how do we understand all these things then? Well, we can understand that, again, these recommendations here in Hari Bhakti Vilas are for people, many of them are for people who haven't come to the proper level of pure devotional service and haven't appreciated it and are being, it's bridge preaching. They're being engaged. Offer a lamp to Damodar during the month of Kartik and you'll get the same benefit as doing a horse sacrifice. They're told. Here's a little better one. The merit one earns by offering a lamp given by another person during the month of Kartik cannot be obtained by performing many great sacrifices. And then just briefly it's given here in one verse. And in the Sandarbhas it's narrated in more detail. A rat accidentally assisted in the lighting of a ghee lamp offered by another person on Ekadashi in the month of Kartik, and as a result, she saw, it's given the female form, she first received the rarely achieved human birth and thereafter attained liberation. In the Bhakti Sandharva, that's narrated from the Puranas, that a rat, seeing the ghee in the lamp that was offered to the Lord, went to eat the ghee and her whiskers caught on fire, so she was jumping round with the ghee on the whiskers, she was jumping up and down in pain in front of the Lord, and she died offering him aarti like that. As a result, she got a human birth and thereafter liberation. There you go. Oh, I believe it says she ran round and round the temple. She ran around the Lord and then she did circumambulation also. There are many such things in Prahlad Maharaj in his previous life, how he fasted all night in a Nrsimha temple because he was upset with his girlfriend. And then he didn't know he was in Nrsimha temple. It was all broken down building. So there we go. Whenever one offers a lamp on top of a temple, his sinful reactions are destroyed. Yeah, that's something that people used to do. Nowadays, they have a big halogen lamp, but it used to be that on top of a temple, there would be a big light. Have you seen that? Yeah. Now we're not talking about a little light, but we're talking about a huge light that can be seen for a long distance. Just like it said that Aurangzeb saw from Agra, where his palace was, the light on the top of the Govinda temple in Vrindavan, and he thought, I can see it from here, the top of a Hindu temple. That's disgusting. I have to destroy it. So, which he summarily did. The merit one obtains by donating 10 million cows with their calves cannot be considered as equal to the merit one achieves by offering a lamp on the top of a temple of Lord Hari. The result one is awarded by giving everything in charity to the Vaishnavas is not equal to even the fraction of the merit one receives by offering a ghee lamp on the top of a temple of Lord Hari. And it goes on, all this stuff about the merit you get. That's the calculating mentality. If I do this, I'll get that. I'll do this, I get that. But we've been hearing Nayang Sukhapo Bhagavan, how of the pure devotion of those who don't calculate what benefit will I get from this. They simply love to serve Krishna. And fortunately for us, that is the attitude that Srila Prabhupada has attempted to instill in his followers, following in the footsteps of Sanatana Goswami. No person in the families of those who witness with great devotion the temple of Lord Keshava, illuminated by lamps during the month of Kartik, will ever have to reside in hell. Just see how efficacious devotion to Krishna is, that even without being extremely advanced, Vimanam Jyotisha Divta. It doesn't actually. That if one who just sees the lamp on the temple with devotion, then all one's family members are safe from going to hell. Whenever one offers a lamp to Lord Vishnu, the demigods in heaven wait in anticipation, thinking, when will we meet this? When will we get the association of this devotee who is engaged in such pious activities? It is not at all difficult to occupy the post of Indra for one who throughout the month of Kartik offers a ghee lamp on the top of the temple of Lord Hari. The idea is that one should perform devotional service being inspired by all these benefits, and then you associate with devotees. By doing that, you hear from them, and hopefully by the end of the month one should understand that all the benedictions I was doing it for are of no value anyway. One who decorates the interior and exterior of the temple of Lord Hari with many lamps during the month of Kartik will certainly become an associate of Lord Vishnu. 100,000 descendants of the family of a person who offers many lamps in the temple of Lord Hari will be exempted from undergoing the torments of hell. One who illuminates the outside and inside of a temple of Vishnu with many lamps will be greeted very respectfully by the inhabitants of the Lord's supreme abode with lamps in their hands when he arrives there. One who offers rows of ghee lamps, this time it does say ghee. Yavat Pradipa Sankhyatu Gritena Purya Bodhita. Yeah, this one actually says ghee lamps, although otherwise it just says lamps in most of them. One who offers rows of ghee lamps during the month of Kartik, especially on Uttane Kadashi and Dwadashi, that's at the end of Kartik, the last Ekadashi, when Lord Vishnu gets up from resting, will board an effulgent airplane that is as bright as 10,000 suns and depart for the transcendental abode of Lord Vishnu. He will then reside in the abode of Lord Vishnu for as many thousands of years as the ghee lamps he had offered to the Supreme Lord. One who offers ghee lamps in the sky during the month of Kartik delivers all his dependents back to Godhead. Yeah, it says sky, akashe. So, what does that mean? Maybe that means putting on the outside of buildings, on the top of buildings. That's commonly done, especially on Deepavali, that all lights are put high. And the next one says, hear about the merit of offering lamps for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu, either in the water or in the sky. Well, that's common in holy rivers, especially Ganga, to offer a lamp on a little boat made of leaves, and then offer the lamp to Ganga, and then put the lamp in the water. That's commonly done at Haridwar, Rishikesh especially. In Haridwar, it's a big thing every evening, isn't it? They have a big arati, and then so many people, they send little boats with their lamps down the river. One who offers lamps in this way will become enriched with stocks of food grain, prosperity, good children, and opulence. He will possess beautiful eyes and take birth to become a learned scholar. It doesn't say he'll take birth, it just says he will become a learned scholar. What do you want to take birth for? It is the opinion of thoughtful men that those who offer lamps in the house of a brahmana will attain the merit of performing an Agnishtoma sacrifice by offering a lamp at an intersection, crossroads, on a highway, in the house of a brahmana, at the root of a tree, in a pasturing ground, in a field, and in a forest, one attains great pious merit. And then there's a mantra for offering a lamp in the sky to Damoda. So strange translations. Taking a holy bath, giving charity, and offering worship to the Supreme Lord during the month of Kartik in any country awards one the merit of performing an Agnihotra sacrifice. In any country, I guess that's in relation to the fact that generally pious activities should be performed in holy places. It's just like we have the first words of Bhagavad Gita, Dharma Kshetra, Kuru Kshetra. Kuru Kshetra is specially meant as a place for offering sacrifices since the time of Maharaj Kuru. So it's a pious place where one should perform sacrifice, not any place. The whole of that area in North India, Aryavarta, the area between the Ganga and the Yamuna, that's supposed to be the very pious place. But here it said if one does this anywhere, you don't have to go to a holy place, then by offering this lamps to Damoda, then one gets pious merit. You can get pious merit anywhere. By bathing at Kurukshetra, one achieves millions of times more merit than by an ordinary ritualistic bath. The same merit is attained by regularly bathing in the Ganga. One obtains more merit than this by taking a bath at Pushkar. More than that is obtained by bathing at Dwaraka. But by bathing and worshipping the Supreme Lord during the month of Kartik, one is transferred to the planet of Lord Krishna. Except Mathura, all other holy places are equal in terms of sanctity. See, we get different things in different shastras. Mathura is considered superior because it was there that Lord Damodar performed his transcendental pastime of being bound by the robes of Mother Yashoda. Residing at Mathura in the month of Kartik gives pleasure to Lord Govinda. The ultimate goal of life can be accomplished simply by residing at Mathura during the month of Kartik. Of course, it's a lot better to engage in devotional service rather than just reside there. But even if one just resides there, that in itself is a devotional activity, just to be in Mathura, Vrindavan. So during this month, many devotees go to Vrindavan and they perform special vows and this and that. So you may say, why don't we all go to Vrindavan and Mathura right now? We have a mission to perform in the service of Srila Prabhupada. There are so many things one can do for spiritual advancement. Five of them are considered the most important. That is Sadhu Sangha, Nama Kirtan, Bhagavat Shravan, Mathura Vas, Shraddhai, Sri Murti Seva. So one of them is residing in Mathura, and this is especially in the month of Kartik. But we are particularly dedicated to the understanding yasya prasadat bhagavat prasadaha. By the mercy of the spiritual master, and especially of, in this case, Srila Prabhupada, then one gets the mercy of Krishna. So, residing anywhere, if we serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada, and actually we have to do it all over there. If everyone just goes and lives in Vrindavan, then who's going to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world? As Srila Prabhupada himself showed the example of living in Vrindavan and coming out of Vrindavan to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. We're not saying you shouldn't go to Vrindavan, it's good to visit from time to time, and you may wish to retire there, plan to do that, but we have work to do all over the world. So, more about the... goes on with the... glories of residing in Mathura, especially says Mathura. Mathura. But the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially, they prefer to live in Vrindavan rather than Mathura, the town, it's now a town, actually always was it, has been a town since time immemorial. And there are other places in Mathura Mandal, otherwise known as Raja Mandal, which are very dear to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Nandagram, Govardhan, in Govardhan area, Radhakund, and so on. For the followers of the Vallabh Sampradaya, they take Govardhan as the most important. You'll find them there, especially at Aniyo and at the back, the tail of Vrindavan, of Govardhan. When Lord Hari is worshipped elsewhere, he bestows material enjoyment and liberation upon his worshippers, but he does not award devotional service because it is his personal property. One can easily obtain devotional service from Lord Hari simply by worshipping Lord Damodar even once during the month of Kartik at Mathura. The merciful Lord Damodar accepts the worship offered to him by those who do not observe the prescribed rules and regulations, chant the proper mantras, or offer the required ingredients during the month of Kartik in Mathura Mandala. So even if one doesn't do it properly, Krishna will still accept it. The best way to get free from all sinful reactions to worship Lord Hari in Mathura during the month of Kartik is the verdict of all scriptures. We're not disagreeing with this, but then there's also, if we once chant Hare Krishna with faith, Ek Krishna Nama Kare Sarva Papa Koi, all by once chanting the name of Krishna, one can be free from all sinful reactions. But thinking about getting free from sinful reactions is not really very devotional. One should simply think how to serve Krishna. And then if there are sinful reactions, one should... Tate nu kampan su samikshamano bhunjanam evatma kritang vipakam. I should get sinful reactions. I deserve it. Let me have them. But let me go on amidst these suffering from sinful reactions. Let me worship Krishna with heart and soul. That should be the attitude. The example is given here that Dhruv Maharaj, because he was in Mathura during Kartik, he attained the Lord's darshan, even though he was doing it for some material gain. The abode of Mathura is easily attainable in this world, and the month of Kartik appears every year, and yet foolish people remain floating on the waves of birth and death within the material ocean. What is the use of performing sacrifice? What is the use of undergoing austerity? What is the use of visiting holy places if one can worship Sri Damodar, who is dear to Radha, at Mathura during the month of Kartik? All the holy places, rivers and lakes reside in Mathura Mandal during the month of Kartik. And actually throughout the year at Pavan Sarova and Radha Kund. One who visits the sacred birthplace of Lord Keshava during the month of Kartik attains shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. So the idea is that one should go there, one should hear that here Krishna performed this pastime, he performed that pastime, and become attached to Krishna. That's the idea. One who even neglectfully worships Lord Hari in Mathura during the month of Kartik achieves this supreme abode of the Lord, which is rarely attained. What then can be said of a person who faithfully worships Lord Hari in Mathura during Kartik? So why is it so much like this? Well, we can remember the Mother Yashoda, because of her overflowing love for Krishna. And then that in itself, Mother Yashoda's love for Krishna, that is, even to remember that is more than performing millions of pious activities. And then what to speak of the gopis who Krishna is dancing with. So Vrindavan is rich with the highest unatajvala rasa bhakti, the highest love for Krishna. So that's what, and it's particularly that is enacted in this area, in Mathura Vrindavan. Then when one should start the vow, the Kartik vows, when one should begin, one should begin from the Ekadashi of the waxing moon in the month of Ashvin, and then what one should do, all the rituals that one should do, the mantras one should chant, one should decorate the temple courtyard with auspicious with cow dung, and then with auspicious drawings such as the swastika. Again, mention the swastika, various flowers. One should discuss the transcendental topics of the Lord in the association of devotees, and keep the lamps. It specifically says here, sesame oil lamps. But the translator says ghee lamps or sesame oil lamps. He must be selling ghee or something. It's got this thing. There's nothing about ghee in the verse. It specifically says til tailena. During the month of Kartik, one should offer special food to the deities, while oneself taking less food and very simple food, that's the idea, but very special food should be offered to the deities. And then who will take that prasad? Maybe the pujaris. One should also offer 108 obeisances every day and eat only once a day. Rise early in the morning, bathe in a pure reservoir of water, perform other such duties, and then engage in the worship of Lord Damodar. One should remain silent while having his meal. Here it says that offering ghee lamps or sesame oil lamps to the Supreme Lord. One should spend the entire day discussing the glories of Lord Krishna in the association of devotees. This is the point. All these things are said, all these rituals you should perform and this and that. And you should also spend all day in the association of devotees discussing about the glories of Lord Krishna. So that's the real point. The vows that one had made for observing Kartik should be very strictly followed. Then there are three different times when one can begin to observe the vow of Kartik, either from the Ekadashi, or the Purnima, or from the Sankranti, that's Tula Sankranti. But if you begin on the Ekadashi, you have to finish on the Ekadashi. Not that you can begin on the last day and finish on the first day. It has to be full month. Offering lamps. One should give in charity a gold lamp, a silver lamp, jewels or pearls for the pleasure of Lord Damodar. One should try to observe the Kartik Vrata while residing in a holy place and not simply at home. Although it used to be that people would stay at home during Chaturmasya. Householders would do that. They'd make a vow. Have you seen that? Have you seen that? People would just stay, they make a vow not to go outside their house during the 4 months. Have you seen that? No, I've seen it. In Bangladesh, of all places. people. Nowadays, I doubt if people even heard of that, but a generation ago, there was still... I was in Shillette town during Kartik, and there are about 30 Vaishnav temples there, and during the whole month, there were all special katas and kirtans and people doing all kinds of things. Nowadays, I don't know. I don't think so. Don't eat rajamashangs. That means the kidney beans. What do they call it? It's popular in Punjab. What's that called? Rajma. Those red beans. Don't eat that during Kartik. Kolmishak. That's in Bengal. I've never seen it outside of Bengal. It's probably the second most popular kind of shak. The most popular being, I just can't even remember the name now. Puishak. Can't remember the name. Portal, eggplant. One shouldn't eat eggplant. And pickle. Don't eat these during the month of Kartik, or you'll surely suffer in hell for an entire kalpa. That's what it says here. I remember when in Hyderabad at Abid's temple, we went through the morning program and we sat down for breakfast, and there was being served. The vegetable preparation was with eggplants. And then one devotee turns up and says, "How can you serve these eggplants during Chaturmasya? You can't do that." That was the first time he'd been seen all morning. He was not present in Mangalarti, Japa period, Gurupur. He just turned up for breakfast. So I thought it would be better to follow the whole morning program and to take the prasad that's given rather than miss the whole morning program and make a big fuss about eating eggplants. A pious person should never eat fish and meat during the month of Kartik. Okay. Even if one is very sick, he must especially eating the meat of a rabbit or pork. That must be, he must especially avoid. But the word's been left out here. Okay. All right. So you're going to follow that? No eating fish or meat during the month of Kartik. And if you really can't follow that, then don't eat rabbit or pig's meat. Okay? During Kartik, avoid eating food from another person's house, sleeping in another person's bed, plundering another person's wealth, and enjoying someone else's wife. Okay. All right. Especially during Kartik. As soon as Kartik's over, then you can get back. Avoid oil massages, sleeping on a couch. I guess that means on a bed. Eating food cooked by others, but of course we take Krishna prasadam. And eating off a bell metal plate, then you can fulfill your vow properly. Avoiding the food cooked by others. Avoiding oil, honey. Eating from a bell metal plate, sour preparations such as pickles and stale rice water. I guess that means what's called in South India, kanji. And in kanji. And in Bengal, it's called pantabat, the rice that you soak in water. It's left overnight. It's left overnight. It's supposed to be very good for health or something like that. Don't eat fish, tortoise meat, or any other type of meat, even as medication. Otherwise you have to become a dog eater during the month of Kartik. Now, getting up to something that's more suitable for us. Sri Radhika, who is most dear to Lord Krishna, as she says to Vishnu, should be worshipped along with Damoda during the month of Kartik. Then it says here, thinking of Rajvasi Brahmana to be Damoda, but actually the verse says, where is it? Dvijang Damodaram Kritva. It actually means making. It doesn't say Rajvasi. So it's very strange translations. I mean, making a Brahmin or Dvija into Damodar. I guess that means dressing his up, dressing his wife as Radhika. One should worship them, giving them clothing, ornaments, and food. That's an interesting one. Oh, one who worships the deity of Radha and makes her happy, makes Damodar happy during Kartik. So the idea is that one should do all these, and then by the end of the month one feels that you want to go on doing it. That's the whole idea. And one should daily recite the Damodar Ashtakam. And then after that is Damodar Ashtakam recited. Okay. And then it goes on about different observances on particular days during the month. Bahulashtami, the day of bathing in Radha Kund, and so on. So, Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes. Do Muslims residing in Mathura get the same benefit as? Oh, they get benefit by residing there, by being there, yeah. Now, many years ago, you may remember, there was one village in South India where it was a Hindu village and everyone converted to Islam. As some kind of soldiers, one. It was inhabited by one caste, and what was the name of that village? Can you remember? Meenakshi, something like that. And all over India, it became a big thing in the news. They were very afraid that this would start a whole big effect of whole, because disaffected Hindus converting to Islam. So at that time, some of our devotees called in Ravanari. This must have been the early 1980s. And he's from Lebanon, from a mullah family, respected mullah family, going back so many generations. And he knows the Quran back to front. And he's just like boys, they may be trained in North India to learn Ramcharitmanas so they can recite it in future. So he knew the whole Quran. But he was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Meenakshipuram, I think, was the name of the village. So he went on a tour. They was taken around India and they brought him to the press. And he said, I'm Muslim, but I follow Bhagavad Gita as it is and all this. So when they went to Mathura, they arranged a meeting with him, with all the local leaders of the Muslim community, and they said, yeah, we also love Krishna. We're living in Mathura. How can we not love Krishna? So, there are many such cases, even up to the present day. Srila Prabhupada, he also mentioned, he knew people, Muslims, who would celebrate Janmashtami. In Kashmir, everyone used to do it. They were converted to Islam by force, but they used to go on with the Hindu rituals. Now it's changed, but as you may know, in 1947, the Muslims of Kashmir, they all wanted to convert back to Hinduism. And Pandit Nehru asked the Shankar Acharya at Varanasi, he said, no, idiot. It could have just solved the whole problem and just... Even recently I heard there was a whole group of Muslims in Haryana who wanted to reconvert to Hinduism, but the local Hindus wouldn't let them, something like that. They said no. They wouldn't let them have any caste. They'd still be... Anyway, these things are going on.
I have one more point, Guru Maharaj. In city, we buy flowers and when we eat foods, but the sellers are mostly Muslims.
The sellers are Muslims of flour and fruit. Really, the flowers also sold by Muslims now?
The big market is captured by Muslims only.
Really? Because that used to be completely Hindu, the Mali caste. They used to sell flowers. Now the Muslims have taken it over.
Totally Muslim.
What can you do if you're living? Actually, if you buy from Hindus, they're also eating meat and everything. So what can you... The real thing is patrang pushpang. You should grow flowers. Offer them to Krishna. If you have to buy... there is that saying that... dravya mulyena shuddhiyat, something that you purchase becomes purified, but it's not pure in the same way. So what can you do? Ask them to chant Hare Krishna.
I buy garlands from a Muslim person for one Narasimha Swami temple nearby our shop.
Mm-hmm.
So I many times doubt when arising in my mind and heart, should I purchase from this fellow or not?
Ask the pujaris at the temple if you have any doubt.
Yes, Sri Sampradaya. They're sitting in the temple, they put in the finger in the tongue and they keep reading that scripture.
Really? No culture. That's why people should send their sons to Gurukul to get trained in all these things. But then the Gurukul teachers, they also have to learn all these things. I have to at least write my books and then they can... understand. There's no culture. The average Hindu nowadays, if you go back a few generations, that they wouldn't let them be a Hindu. You'll go and join the Muslims because you have no idea of any sadhacha, nothing. So many Hindus are atheists also. At least in Islam, you're not allowed to be an atheist. In Hindu, you can be a Hindu and be an atheist. You go to the temple, everything. We don't believe in anything. So why do you go to the temple? Well, my wife likes to go. Maybe there's something there. No harm. Maintain our traditions. This Bal Thackeray, he was an atheist. Fighting for the Hindus' rights. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.